Hunt, hunt, hunt.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He is our friend, he is our teammate, he is Jason Wilde. Joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, dude.
Dude, I'm with Ryan in McGuanago. I didn't realize that this show was being held in like 1995 Seattle.
Yeah, I didn't get the memo.
We got Eddie Vedder coming up on the other side to talk about their big show in Madison at the R&R Station.
Do you have a flannel? Do you have anything plaid or flannel, Jason?
Oh
my God. This is right up my alley. Like this was my, first of all, having graduated from the University of Wisconsin in 1994, my big accomplishment musically, certainly not playing it, was attending a show in 1991 at the R&R Station, which was raised when they built the Kohl Center many years later. It was just this total hole-in-the-wall dump on Park Street. And I saw Pearl Jam before I think Alive had come out, but it was not, it had not gotten really popular. I think that album is 10, if I recall correctly.
That is correct.
And it, you could go on their website. You can find the set list.
Probably, oh, I have like, it open. March 26, 1992.
There you go, 92. And so it was like a 5-minute walk from my apartment, and I couldn't get any of my roommates to go with me. So I was a total loser in my flannel shirt going by myself to a concert. But at least I get to say that I saw Pearl Jam before they became what they became.
Hey, that's a way cooler story than when I went to see Shinedown by myself. I mean, so you got that going.
And you were wearing the same shirt you're wearing now.
Accurate statement, yeah, yeah.
Jason,
all right, you guys are way late. Sorry.
Yeah. No, and that's on us because we were berating
Strophy. I was getting made fun of.
Yeah, we were berating him because he said there's a 0% chance that the Packers lose this game, which I know you've learned that lesson the hard way. Homer's learned the lesson the hard way, but he still talks in the absolutes. But I'm just trying to teach him that, you know, hey, while I think the Packers win, Chase, I think they win big, I still recognize because of the way that Jordan Love has turned the ball over, because of the way that they have committed penalties at the rate in which they've committed penalties, like there's still a chance they lose this game.
Sure, there absolutely is. And, you know, there's also the chance that the guys on that Bears offense Sylvie's taken a lot of grief, I noticed, mainly because the people on Twitter who are doing it to him are doing it off of a tweet that mentioned that I was on their show, so I'm getting all the notifications, which is super fun. But, like, look, Sylvie is a pro's pro, and by the way, he's pretty well-connected inside Hallis Hall. And so, you know, when he reported that they were there were guys that went to Eberflus wanting them to move on from Shane Waldron, he didn't get that from the backup quarterback's dad, nor did he get the fact that there were some guys suggesting that they should go to Badgent instead of continuing to get the crap kicked out of Caleb Williams. But is it possible that now that they've made that change, that will give them some sort of surge of energy and maybe they'll actually try harder instead of, you know, walking off the field in the middle of a play like DJ Moore? Maybe. Again, do I think any of this is likely? No. But I will say this. I feel like it's my fault that Alex Strofe has been emboldened to make this type of a prediction.
Jason, wow. What did you do?
Because going into the Jacksonville game, I appeared on Green Bay game day, and I told the story of me on the media bus Super Bowl 32 and saying, I don't see any way the Packers lose this game, and then they lost to the Broncos. And I pulled out just because I wanted to test if it still was the whammy that it was that day in January 1998. I said, I don't see any way the Packers lose this game to the Jaguars.
They made it interesting for you.
And they almost made me regret that, too. So I think maybe subconsciously, I'm not saying that I hold this much sway over Strofe overall, but somewhere in the recesses of his brain, that's how he got to 0%. He didn't want to completely plagiarize me, so he instead went 0%, and he's getting a lot of run for it. And now we're going to find out in about 48 hours or so if he was right.
Okay. I respect that you think this was Jason Wilde inspired. I'm not going to tell you you're wrong. However, the smart decision for you would have been not saying that about the Jaguars, which was a game I was more nervous for, and saved it for this game. And I guess what we talked about and what made us run so late to get to you, Jason, was this opinion is more based on the dysfunction of the Chicago Bears than it is on my confidence in the Green Bay Packers. This should be a get-right game of sorts, still coming off of that loss 2 weeks ago to the Detroit Lions. I don't remember the last time they started 0-3 in division play. They're 0-2 for the first time since 2005. In my brain, there's just no way, shape, or form I trust Caleb Williams or Matt Eberflus or anything about the Chicago Bears team that they could defeat the Green Bay Packers unless they go up 3-0 and something catastrophic happens. That's like the only way it plays out in my head.
Yeah, the only thing I would say, and this is the reason why it is you cannot have, to use your word, those catastrophic moments in your season, is that they should have beaten Washington in Washington, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they are leading that game. They would have been, what, 5-2?
Correct.
If that idiot Stevenson isn't busy trash-talking the crowd and instead is in position to bat down a Hail Mary, which is what happens to what? About 98% of Hail Marys don't work unless Aaron Rodgers is throwing them. And suddenly now they're 5-2, and belief is a real thing. It really is. Like it is a power in sports. Even if you don't have any right to believe, belief matters. But on the flip side, and to Strofe's point, devastation also matters. And if you have a cataclysmic moment like that one, then it breeds things like E.J. Moore walking off the field while a play is still going on, that kind of stuff. So, look, they've lost three in a row, including that one. They have looked absolutely pitiful in the two losses they had in the aftermath of that backbreaking loss. But, you know, they got rid of this offensive lineman that they overpaid who had the mistake. I mean, here's another example of what happens when things are going bad. The guy called in sick for the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
My back's so sore. Those are symptoms of dysfunction. Can they get that out of their building in one week?
Exactly. No.
I'm not sure. But you can't rule out the possibility that this will be something, and the rivalry nature, maybe they get their guys up for this. I actually think you should be more nervous about this game than you were about Jacksonville. Like, they were in control in Jacksonville, and their quarterback got hurt.
Yeah, I'm not. I don't think, you know.
Obviously.
Yeah, obviously. I don't think changing to your third offensive play caller in 11 months is really going to give you the boost you need, right? To your point, momentum is very real, both positively and negatively. They would have been on a four-game winning streak had Jaden Daniels not converted that Hail Mary. Well, now they're in a three-game losing streak.
I think you'd feel differently that. I would recognize that they could get a boost, because how many times have we seen it where a coach gives them a one-week boost? It doesn't get rid
of
this dysfunction.
As an example, yeah.
You know, you get the one-week boost of, oh, new coach, new whatever. I would be willing to give the Bears that benefit of the doubt had Caleb Williams not come out and gone, Yeah, I haven't really talked with Thomas much.
Like, Isn't that nuts?
You know, like, oh, okay then. But Jason, more on the Packers. Under Matt LaFleur, they have not played their best football coming out of the bye. Is that something I can actually glean information from, or is it just so different year to year? It's just a fun thing to look at, but it doesn't actually tell you anything.
No, what's interesting is they took a different approach to the bye. He gave his coaches basically homework assignments and then kicked them out of the building and had them work remotely. So you had a project, you had to complete, but he wanted you to get away from being in the building, which is a different approach, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that, you know, maybe that is a good thing to change it up. They have been really good after the bye in terms of their record in totality. What they haven't been is great in that first game right after the bye. They've been pretty sloppy. And I guess I would also say, though, that could they be sloppier than they were going into the bye with the number of drops?
I don't want to find out.
Yeah. If they are, I like the Bears' chances a lot more all of a sudden because they've been really sloppy throughout the first half of the season. So I don't know if there's year to year, they're coming off the bye, so they're not going to be on point. I don't know if I'm willing to say that. I would, again, emphasize this, though, like we were talking about yesterday. The fact that Jordan Love is practicing not only makes Jordan Love better than he has been with all the time he's missed in practice. It also makes guys like, because I was talking with this guy and I wrote about him today. It makes guys like Dontavian Wicks better. Like Dontavian Wicks has 7 drops. They are the tied for second most in the league. But I would say that at least 4 of the 7 have been on inaccurate throws that he got his hands on, but he didn't catch. And there's still drops. I'm not excusing him. But, like, Jordan Love's inaccuracy, you know, you want to talk about how good he was down the stretch last year. You know, his completion percentage in those last 8 games was 70%. It is 61% through 6.5 games this year. Not only are the interceptions up from the second half of last year, but the completion percentage is down. And if his leg is better and he's stepping into his throws and his footwork is better and his form and fundamentals and mechanics are better, then you would hope his accuracy is better. And that not only helps him be better, it also helps his receivers get balls put in better places. It was interesting and very telling to me that yesterday when we talked to Adam Stenovich was asked by one reporter about 3 different ways who he clearly had a story about how Jordan Love's injuries affected why he played poorly. And Adam Stenovich gave him nothing to help that narrative. And he just kept talking about how the interceptions were decision-based, not injury-based. So that is something that they clearly want Jordan Love to clean up, and they feel like it's been a problem.
Do you side more with the reporter or Adam Stenovich?
I side with Adam Stenovich. I think his inaccuracy is the injury-related, but if you look at his interceptions, most of them have been, well, I don't know about most of them, but of the 10, more of them have been decisions than they have been, you know, he's not like the one he sailed to, it was at home. I can't remember which game it was that he sailed to Christian Watson. Houston, maybe?
Yeah, that was Houston.
Like that might have been one. That might have been one where if he, you know, he's fading to his right or to his left, he's getting pressure from his right. He doesn't feel the confidence to step into his left with his left leg he's being pressured. Maybe that's one of them. But, like, you know, he threw another bad interception in that game. There was the Wicks one against Minnesota where they had the 0 blitz and he just threw it up for grabs. I mean, obviously we know the 2 pick sixes. Like, I think more of them have been decision-based than leg-based.
Jason, appreciate the time. Look forward to hearing you coming up in 90 minutes on Wilde and Tausch.
Keep on rocking in the free world, boys. Not you, Gabe, because you dressed like their uncle.
You kind of did, actually.
Well, take care. Be good.
He drops a bomb on me and then runs away?
Uncle Gabriel.
Just wearing my nice little Jordan brand Marquette quarter zip as Marquette's got a nice game tonight against Maryland. Apparently that makes me your uncle.
Big one tonight.
I don't know how big it is.
The win.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a good test.
It's a nice test.
And coming off of, I would say, kind of a lackluster win earlier in the week. It's a big one.
Yeah. I don't know if Marquette really has a big one until...
Purdue's not what
Wisconsin.
They were a year ago. Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
Wisconsin's got a big one tonight. Number 9, Arizona coming to town.
Oh, Benny's going to be there, right?
Yeah, it's
they're
the
celebrating,
Final Four reunion.
Yeah, celebrating all the Final Four teams.
Yep.
What do you say the percent chances of the Badgers winning that one is?
1%. Oh. Arizona's good this year. Arizona's really good. And Wisconsin, I don't know. I don't know what they're going to be. Not very good is my answer.
Wow. Not willing to go. Yeah, suddenly 0%. It's not part of the vernacular anymore.
Home game, like it is for the Bears. But
oh, so we're seeing some inconsistencies.
But college basketball is a little bit different than the NFL, right? I mean, you can have a weird one-off. Where in the NFL, it's not as common.
Oh, because any given Sunday, I'm sure that came out of nowhere.
Except this Sunday. Nothing given this Sunday except the Packers W.
Yeah, nothing. I don't know about you. I mean,
Packers win given Sunday.
The NFL
is
known for consistently going chalk.
Yeah.
That's what it's known for. Favorites win all the time. Vegas just loses their ass.
Gambling's easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an easy thing to do. Yeah, you're totally right.
Guys, I'm telling you, if you're making plans to propose to that special someone in your life, the Jewelry Center, the only place to go for that engagement ring. Best place to shop. For diamond engagement rings in Milwaukee for a reason. It's what I did. Now, my wife, I kind of had an idea, but I used the team at the Jewelry Center to kind of help refine that idea. Maybe you're somebody who doesn't have any clue. That's fine. There's no problem with that. Go to her, see if she's got a Pinterest page, grab some ideas off of that, bring it in. And the helpful team at the Jewelry Center, which, again, is always going to point you in the right direction, that team is what separates them from everyone else in the Milwaukee area. Whether you're looking for naturally mined diamonds, lab-grown diamonds, whatever you're in the market for when it comes to an engagement ring, the Jewelry Center has it. Check out their inventory. Any one of their three locations in Greenfield, Brookfield, or in Burlington, shop online, shoptjc.com. If you head over to the Jewelry Center, make sure you tell them that Gabe and Chew sent you.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
His eyeball.
Wait.
Where do I get him?
I just assumed, when I said wait, did you just think it was just a suggestion?
Yeah,
pretty much.
Typically.
On 94.5 ESPN.